Now fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio because we're going on a road trip. Rib Mountain rises 700 feet above the city of Wausau skyline, making it the second highest point and the tallest mountain in Wisconsin. People have been skiing down its slopes since 1937, when it was one of the first downhill runs in America. And today, the Granite Peak Ski Hill comprises 415 acres of the roughly 1,600-acre Rib Mountain State Park, drawing 110,000 visitors a year, visitors who not only ski but provide business for the region's restaurants, hotels, and shops. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we discuss a proposal to add another 150 acres to Granite Peak, with 12 new runs and two chairlifts on the west side of the mountain, new year-round hiking trails, and eventually, slopeside lodging. The $50 million expansion could increase the number of visitors to 200,000 per year. According to one of our guests today, Granite Peak owner Charles Skinner, who says the expansion is necessary to keep the ski hill viable. Also in our studio this morning, Karen Graff. She is the secretary and board member of the Friends of Rib Mountain, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the betterment of the park. And Tracy Baltz, director of marketing for the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau. They're here to talk about the relationship between Granite Peak and the park that includes it and to answer your questions. Here's the number, 1-800-780-9742, if you'd like to join the conversation. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. If you go to that Facebook page, you will see a link to Granite Peak, including the expansion plans. There is also a link to the Friends of Rib Mountain State Park and a link to the Wausau Central Convention, Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau. 1-800-780-9742 if you've got questions for Charles Skinner or Karen Graff or Tracy Baltz. Charles, tell us why Granite Peak needs another 150 acres.
Well, we're really out of room on our existing footprint right now. And if you look around the country at what's been happening to ski areas, in order to be competitive and to afford the types of improvements that are necessary to be a viable ski area, we need some additional terrain to have more skiers to be able to afford those improvements, but also to balance out the terrain that we currently have. Our primary market, I would say, is families, people with kids, and learning skiers. And the expansion is primarily beginner terrain, lower intermediate terrain that will really give us enough terrain to make us a compelling destination for vacationing skiers.
Well, you talk about being competitive. What is the general state of the ski industry in America today? How many ski hills are closing?
The general state of skiing in the United States is slow growth, but stable and pretty strong. But there's been where people ski has been changing a lot. Number of ski areas has gone down from about 800 30 years ago to 400 and some now. And I would expect there's probably going to be 300 or maybe even fewer in the coming decades because of – and that's affecting mostly vacationing ski area, mm-hmm. Ski areas that attract what I call destination skiers. And we compete somewhat with other destination ski areas in the Midwest, but there really aren't that many left. And so our real competition and measuring stick is how do we measure up compared to a Western ski area? What's our value proposition compared to flying out west versus driving up to Granite Peak?
So do you see your main competition as being places like Vail and Aspen and Breckenridge, the ones out west, or do you see your main competition as being other ski hills in the Midwest? And I've seen your presentation before. There are, what, four of them altogether?
There's four larger ski areas across, in the vast area between the Appalachians and the Rockies that I would say have the scale to be competitive for future generations. There are other destination ski areas, but a lot of them have closed. A lot of them will close, and so increasingly our competition is Western ski areas.
You're looking at 12 additional runs on the west side of the mountain. Is that accurate?
Yes, it's approximately 12 runs.
And two new chairlifts?
and two new chairlifts.
Why aren't the 74 runs you already have sufficient?
You know, it's just a matter of acreage, partly, we have about 150 acres of skiable terrain. Those are the areas between the trees where people ski. This will add about 75 additional acres, about a 50% increase. And so part of it's just the acreage, but it's also more the balance of the ski terrain. So in each category, this new expansion will add significant additional terrain to make it a more compelling ski destination.
The new runs and chairlifts will run about $20 million. Is that correct?
Just in very rough terms, yes.
But you're also looking at slope slide lodging on a 25-acre parcel that you own privately?
Yes. We purchased that 25-acre parcel in 2000. That was really a condition to taking on this project when we first came here in 2000. And so that was purchased separately, and it's always been our plan since the very beginning and on our website, et cetera, to eventually develop that for on-mountain lodging. But that's a separate process.
Why isn't the available lodging in Wausau and the town of Rib Mountain sufficient?
Well, the available lodging in Wausau has been great, and there's been a lot of new hotels, a lot of very high-quality hotels, and but there's a segment of the population, and particularly families, that really want to stay, the convenience of staying on the mountain, and so we're missing a whole segment, maybe a third or more of the potential customers that we could have that do not come here because they cannot ski in a ski out.
And those new trails are also beginning trails, so that would apparently also be attractive to families with young children.
Yes. We don't have any beginning trails right now that you can ride a chairlift from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill and take a beginner run all the way down. This provides a number of trails from the top of the mountain from the bottom of the mountain to the top.
Well, this still has to be approved. If everything goes the way you want it to go, how long is this going to take? How much time for the new runs and the chairlifts, and how much time for the lodging?
Well, I think the approval process itself will take probably the rest of this year and maybe longer. The development process will depend on how it's resonating with customers as we go along. We need to take it a step at a time, but I expect that the ski development portion of it will take 5 years or so, mm-hmm. and the lodging development will take much, much longer, 10, 20 years.
So this isn't going to happen overnight?
No.
This is going to take an amendment to the Rib Mountain State Park Master Plan, and if you go to the DNR website, it says the DNR, this is a quote, recognizes sound planning is a partnership effort with the people it serves and that the end product must be broadly supported by them as well as fit the capabilities of the property. And we have heard from representatives of the DNR that this is a long process. They say it's the first inning of a 9-inning game. People will be able to voice their concerns at upcoming public meetings, or you can do that by sending them through email or sending a letter to the DNR through the post office. If you just joined us, we are talking to Charles Skinner. He's the owner of the Granite Peak Ski Area on Rib Mountain, and he's talking about his expansion plans, another 150 acres that would come out of the park. Karen Graff is also with us from the Friends of Rib Mountain State Park, and also Tracy Baltz from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And again, if you've got a question about this project, if you've got a question or comment for Charles Skinner, this is your opportunity. The number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. We do have wide open phone lines, and you can get right in. Karen, let's turn to you. Tell us about the Friends of Rib Mountain State Park.
Thank you, Glenn. The Friends of Rib Mountain celebrated our 20th anniversary last year, and it's a wide variety of people that belong to the group. But our goal is to help support Rib Mountain State Park. So along the way, we operate a concession stand, and we've done other types of fundraising to create things that make the park better, such as the amphitheater, which we did about 2005 with the help of the Kiwanis Club. And we put on The Concerts in the Clouds that are supported. We do three of those a summer, and we've gotten up to 1,000 people that come to those Concerts in the Clouds. They're just very well attended and very popular, and they're at that amphitheater. We do a couple of snowshoe hikes every winter, and that is not only to just maybe raise a little money, but to make sure that people know that right there in their backyard, they've got wonderful places to snowshoe and how different the vistas look in the wintertime.
Now, you're also trying to build a shelter.
We are. It has been several years now since the former enclosed picnic shelter was torn down to enable a road expansion and for some different antenna projects. So we have been planning for some years and raising money to do a new enclosed shelter that will be close to the ranger station that's up on the top of the mountain. And it will provide an enclosed place with bathrooms in it for people to come. They can rent it for family reunions, or if a wedding at the amphitheater is rained out, they could actually go to an enclosed place.
Now, as I understand it, the Friends of Rib Mountain State Park your group has not taken any kind of an official position on the expansion plans for Granite Peak?
We have not. This is, of course, at the beginning of the process. And, you know, we have a diverse membership, and we don't even know what the DNR will actually encourage the Natural Resources Board to do. We do want to make sure that people know that there's a process. There's a way on the DNR website that you can become informed about the proposal of the expansion, what would be affected, and that you have an avenue for input. That's what the DNR is looking for. They want to hear from people on what's important to users and if there's any concerns. So there is an avenue for people.
Well, you've got a diverse membership. How do your members feel about it individually? What are the range of opinions?
You know, I really don't know. We just had the opportunity last week on Monday to get briefed by the DNR on how the process will work. So the members have not met and discussed what even the process is. So I really don't know the answer to that question, Glenn.
And your organization does have a working relationship right now with Granite Peak.
Certainly. And in fact, once a year for our annual meeting, they always offer us one of their buildings for our dinner and annual meeting. It's a fine relationship.
And you are a nonprofit organization, a 501c3. Does that affect whether your group could be involved in the debate on this project?
Well, that could be. But the Friends groups in all of the Wisconsin state parks are essentially at the leisure of the DNR. But Wisconsin is really extraordinary in terms of its Friends groups and their involvement in supporting their parks.
Let's go to Tracy Baltz. Tracy, what is the impact of Granite Peak and those 110,000 visitors it draws to the Wausau area?
In looking at the numbers that Granite Peak ski area shares with us as far as annual skier visits, right now they are attracting about 110,000 visitors. And we really look to see how many of those visitors are out-of-town visitors versus mm-hmm. day visitors, and really work with formulas that are provided by the Wisconsin Department of Tourism to look at overall economic impact. And it's definitely significant. As a percentage, if we were to take the percentage of day visitors and out-of-town visitors, we're looking at millions of dollars, conservatively $5.6 million annually into the local income.
If you were to increase that to 200,000 visitors a year with this new development, would that also be like an 80% increase in the economic impact, so it might be more like $8 million or $9 million?
Well, as Charles mentioned, they really would like to pursue the segment of the visitors who are looking for on-site lodging. And if that were the case, really the number of overnight visitors would increase dramatically. And that also means that the people that are staying overnight are perhaps staying longer and spending more dollars to do so.
So they'd be staying for a longer period of time. That means they'd be going to more restaurants. They'd be shopping more. So maybe the impact would be more than an 80% increase.
Correct. And just depending on the duration of the project, as Charles mentioned, it's going to be completed in phases. But they're looking at a potential of 200,000 plus skiers, and even at a percentage, I would see that number easily double. And additionally, you're looking at job creation, you're looking at other factors that really would impact the local economy positively.
And what about the attraction of Rib Mountain State Park year-round? It's not just a ski hill.
Rib Mountain State Park really is one of the attractions that brings a lot of visitors to the area for all four seasons. There are so many great recreational opportunities. And has Karen has mentioned, the number of amenities that have expanded really has increased the offerings. And it's definitely one of the top attractions in the Wausau area.
And if you're coming into Wausau, you know, for the first time, I don't know anybody who doesn't go up to the top of that mountain and get a look at the surrounding area. So it really does bring a lot of folks in. 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Ray in Rhinelander. Ray, you're on with Charles and Tracy and Karen.
Once again, thanks for letting the public know of what's going on with this. It's very important. As you know, Rib Mountain has quite a history in a variety of ways, from the early Paleo Native American times as a spiritual mountain all the way up to the present. My concern and question is this. Has any research been done as far as off-season on things that can be done with your expansions and other things with trails and other parts that people can enjoy besides skiing? Could you bring me up to date and others as far as the eco part of more green and soft sports, things related to protecting this? I'm not saying I'm against expansion or anything, but are there other avenues and venues that will help other people's interest in a variety of other things, because Rib Mountain means a lot to a lot of us, and it's not just about skiing, and I'm not against skiing or anything like that. So if you can expound on that to incorporate the variety with everybody else, I'd appreciate it. And I'll take the comment off the air.
Ray, thanks so much for the phone call. Charles Skinner.
Well, I think this is also something that Karen could weigh into as well. You know, the skiing is mostly a winter activity, so all of our 100,000+ visits occur pretty much in the winter. In the summer, the park blossoms with the hiking and you know, people just enjoying the view and picnicking. Our ski area portion of the park is used quite heavily with hiking as it exists right now, and so. I think there's really a good balance between the skiing, which is a winter activity, and all of the other hiking and other uses during the summer right now across the whole park.
And Karen Graff, talk about some of the hiking trails, and specifically let's talk about the hiking trails that are on the west side of the existing ski area, which is where the expansion would take place.
Sure, Glenn. Trails that would be impacted by an expansion to the west by Granite Peak are some of the newest trails in the park, with some land that was more recently acquired. And the Friends Group, with some stewardship money, have created the Turkey Vulture Trail, Quarry Trail, and the Homestead Trails, which take you by a historic area and hemlocks and lots of spring wildflowers right now, actually. The Spring Beauties and Hepatica and Dutchman's Breeches are just everywhere.
Well, I sat in on that DNR briefing for the Friends of Rib Mountain, and you asked specifically about whether or not there'd be a study of wildflower habitat and wildflowers.
Well, the DNR had explained that lots of different studies would be done, but my particular concern was about the spring wildflowers, which are just incredible up at that part of the park, and so that was my own personal concern. There's also hunting in that area during the times when hunting and trapping is allowed in state parks, and that west and northern part of the park is does have some allowable hunting and trapping allowed, and that would be affected by the
expansion. And there's an historic old homestead up there as well. Tell me about that.
Well, there is an interpretive panel there and a foundation. Apparently, Ludwig Knapp and his wife came to the Wausau area in the 1880s, and in 1892 they were granted a homestead, right? And they farmed up there, and there some of the foundations are still there for people to see.
And that's all accessible via the trails that are up there that you helped put together with state stewardship money.
Yes, and the stewardship money does have some I can't think of the word.
Restrictions?
Some restrictions on where it's used. The applications were done and matched by the Friends Group. But there are some restrictions on how those projects can be affected.
Charles, can you assure people that the expansion on the west side of the mountain won't harm the trails that are there? And I understand that you've got plans for additional trails as well.
Yeah, I mean, just to put it into context, you know, there are trails in this area. I think that the most heavily traveled trails, and certainly the longest and, you know, the largest volume of trails, are on the top of the mountain. The trails where the ski runs will go will be impacted in the sense that there will be ski runs there as well. You know, the trails will remain in place. The homestead that was referred to is being, you know, not affected in the sense of the ski runs aren't near where that will be or aren't mm-hmm. going to destroy that whatsoever. We're also planning, I believe these trails are, you know, somewhere in the 5 kilometer or so range, and we're also planning to add an additional 10 kilometers of multi-use trails for hiking and snowshoe and that kind of thing in this immediate vicinity. And, you know, the trails that we're going to install are going to, you know, be carefully designed to follow the topography really well. The existing trails, to some extent, you know, have advantages and disadvantages. They went over existing roads and things like that, and they wouldn't necessarily have been designed to go, you know, for example, straight up the hill or just kind of in a straight line for a long distance. So they are wonderful trails, and we will do our best to maintain them.
And the DNR also said, again, at that meeting before the Friends, that they'll consider the trails and they'll try to minimize the impact and make sure that the best trails with the best vistas are somehow protected. Now, there's also a natural area at the top of the mountain there, a designated natural area. Isn't that where one of your chairlifts is going to go?
Yes, the chairlift will go to the very northern side of that. I think that the impacted portion of that protected area is about 7% of the overall. It's on the far side of the of that section, and you know, most of the heavily used and high traffic areas are at the top. We actually moved that chairlift location around a couple of different times in preliminary discussions with the DNR to minimize impact on the most popular trails.
And again, the DNR said at that meeting that, in fact, I've got a quote here, this is a unique geological natural resource. We're concerned about the impacts on unique habitats and communities of animals and plants. We don't think we should be cavalier about moving boundaries of a natural area for a chairlift, but they will consider it if that's something that makes sense for them. Let's take one more caller, and then we're going to have to break for another pledge break. But we want to go to Brock in Wausau right now. Brock, you're on Route 51.
Hi, thanks for having me. There's a lot of talk about this expansion with regards to economic benefits to the city of Wausau and the surrounding areas. But there's also a lot more things that I don't think are being discussed, such as environmental degradation and environmental impact of the mountain in the area itself. And I was just wondering what kind of studies are going to be done to study that sort of thing as far as wildlife diversity and, like you guys were talking about, wildflowers and that sort of thing. Because I know there is a petition right now on Facebook going around to stop this expansion. So I was just kind of curious as to what the DNR and the people proposing the expansion are trying to do to ease the nerves, so to speak, of people concerned about these issues?
Well, the DNR, again, from what I heard at that meeting, is they're going to look at all of that. They're going to look at the effects on timber, on water, and on the environment, and also on the habitats of the existing plants and animals. Charles Skinner.
Yes, you know, we're just beginning this process. We made our proposal in December, and the DNR decided in February to, you know, to start a process of evaluating our proposal. And they've given us a long list of items to provide additional information on, which includes issues such as wetland and stream issues, hydrologic assessments and reports, erosion rates and sediment yield prediction, scenic analysis, impacts on scenic vistas, biological opinions, heritage resources, and more. And we've also spoken to the town about impacts on traffic, and so we're just beginning a process of putting together information that responds to that information request.
And Karen, what are your concerns as somebody who uses Rib Mountain as we go into this process?
Well, I know that what the DNR has said is the concerns that they will look at are about that state natural area. It's called the Rib Mountain Talus Forest State Natural Area. The trails, those trails do have lots of interesting vistas and rock features and these hemlock stands. So it's quite a nice covered canopy area, and how it would affect users, actually. You know, and it isn't only, you know, wildflowers and hunting possibilities, but invasive species often come into play when the soils are disrupted. And because it's a park, that's a giant concern, and they're spreading in areas that are close by. There's a lot of water issues, not only in terms of pumping out of the Rib River, which the audience and the DNR address, but snow melt off.
They use
issues.
The pumping for the snow, and that drains the Rib River to a certain extent, but then it fills up again when the snow melts.
Right, but there are some snow melt issues in the surrounding areas. They also are looking at medical services. The town of Rib Mountain has services that they render that are. In particular to the ski area. So I'm just talking about the areas that the DNR will be looking at because of those are concerns that need to be addressed.
And they're actually looking at three parts of this process. There's the DNR and Rib Mountain State Parks relationship with Granite Peak. There's the DNR and Rib Mountain State Parks relationship with the town of Rib Mountain, which surrounds the park. And there's a town of Rib Mountain's relationship with Granite Peak because they're going to have to give you zoning applications and other things.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Karen. I mean, all of those issues are part of the information that we'll be putting together, working with the DNR to make sure we get all of the, you know, information. You know, they have a lot of resources in terms of knowledge of the park. And we'll be working with the Friends of Rib Mountain and the town to our goal is to have the, you know, the best development possible and the most environmentally progressive development.
And Tracy Baltz, there's really a balance to be struck here because, you know, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Oh, exactly. But I do think it's really testament to Charles Skinner and his team at Granite Peak working so closely with the DNR. When you look at the current development, which has been a process since the year 2000, the addition of ski runs really has been beneficial, I would say, for the ski area itself and the reforestation that took place when the extra trails were developed. Again, working so closely with the DNR to preserve the natural beauty and the habitats and all of the environmental factors, as well as the economic benefits that have taken place with the development of the ski area, and what a wonderful recreation opportunity that has taken place.
And skiing has been going on that mountain since 1937. And Charles, in the year 2000, when you took over, the DNR had a choice. They could let it all go to a natural area, or they could find somebody else to come in and take over the ski hill and make it economically viable, and you're the person who came in and did it.
Yeah, I mean, the ski area does have has a long history, and it's worth looking back to the, you know, to the origins of the park. And the park started out kind of as this marriage between wanting to have a ski area there on this, you know, this wonderful ski slope, as well as to create all of the different park uses that we see now. Originally, the ski area was more than half of the park, 160 out of 280 acres. Even with this expansion, the ski area will be less than a third of the park.
And there are other private commercial ventures on other state parks. For instance, Peninsula State Park in Door County has a golf course, a private golf course on it that's been there since the 1920s. We have to take a break for our pledge drive. We're going to hear from Rick and John. And then Steve in Wausau, you've been waiting patiently. I want you to wait for about another 7 minutes, and we'll take your phone call on the other end. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, University Bookstore, and the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Northwind Renewable Energy of Stevens Point, designing and installing solar systems, highly efficient wood boiler systems, and providing deep energy retrofits to buildings. Northwind's project portfolio is available at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're back with Charles Skinner, owner of the Granite Peak Ski Area on Rib Mountain. We've also got Karen Graff with us from the Friends of Rib Mountain State Park, and Tracy Baltz. She is the Director of Marketing for the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. On the Granite Peak expansion plans, we can squeeze in a couple of more calls, and we will squeeze in Steve right now from Wausau, who's been waiting patiently. Steve, you're on Route 51.
Good morning, Glenn. A couple things. First, I have no problems with the ski hill as it exists right now. I think it's been a great addition to the Wausau area and what's been done with it. I do, however, think that we've kind of gone to the point where it's gone far enough, at least to the west side of the park. If they want to do some expansion to the east side, I think that's fine. But when you go out to the western part of the park where there's the new hiking trails out in the old quarry area, I think we've got to draw the line there. I know that Granite Peak does own acreage already that was in the plans for slopeside lodging, and I think that's totally fine if they want to develop that. But, you know, that quarry's been shut down for 50, 60 years, and it's now just begun to heal, and all the roads are starting to kind of cover themselves, and the wildflowers, like was mentioned before, have really started to come in. There's some really nice, almost like creeks that run down there in drainage. And, you know, when we talk about taking out those trails, and that's what's going to happen when I look online at the plans for the ski hill expansion, those trails are in essence going to be wiped out, or if nothing significantly changed. And we're going to lose an awful lot of that trail. And I think we're looking here at quality of the trails, not just quantity. And
Steve,
I see is, you know, those trails, they're just, I don't think you're going to be able to put anything in that's going to quite take the place of what's in there.
Steve, thanks so much for the call. We've got to get a response because we're running out of time. Charles Skinner, he's concerned about those trails, and he says quality is important, and he's worried that your runs are going to affect that.
Yeah, we're concerned about quality as well. The quarry area is really quite a ways away from where the new runs will be, so the quarry itself won't be impacted at all. The existing trails will be impacted. There will be, you know, ski runs that go across them. But there's also, you know, existing trails that are really quite popular that go across many of the original ski runs. And so, you know, their character will be changed. They will open up vistas, and they will remain in place. And in addition, we're going to be adding additional 10 kilometers of trails that will go through the forest and I think better connect people to go look around the quarry, as well as we will have a convenient parking. Right now, there's no real parking for the general public to access this area. Homeowners can there. There's parking maybe for, you know, 15 cars or something kind of on the side of the road. So this will open that area up to more people.
Now, at the Friends of Rib Mountain briefing, one of the people voiced concern about the fact that he's got a well and septic. He's concerned about the project's possible impact on his well water. He even wondered if the town of Rib Mountain was going to run a water pipeline and sewer to his property. Have you considered that and perhaps the effect of additional storm runoff?
That is definitely part of what will be studied very carefully. And I think that it will not affect the groundwater and certainly not well water. But we will study that very carefully. And we're going to take time for this study. It's not something we're going to rush through. We want to make sure that all the questions are evaluated and analyzed and that people have a chance to express their concerns. And if there's concerns that we haven't thought of, that those concerns get evaluated as well.
Tracy Baltz, you're obviously looking forward to this project from an economic standpoint.
I think it has great potential for the Wausau area to attract additional visitors who may, again, be looking for an experience that we don't currently offer. We are very respectful of the time and the resources that are being put into this potential development and want to look forward to the future and ensure that Granite Peak Ski Area is a viable attraction and something, again, for the future as an ongoing attraction.
And Karen Graff, the Friends of Rib Mountain, as a group and as individual members, will continue to look out for the betterment of Rib Mountain.
Yes, and, you know, the DNR and all of us want to make sure that the question isn't whether an expansion of the ski hill is advantageous to the community, but whether this special and in many ways unique natural resource that belongs to all of us and the people of the state should be used as an expansion to a ski hill. This is a permanent thing that will happen. It's not really going to be reversible. So we all need to do input with the DNR to make sure that they know how we feel and make certain that they're doing their job in doing the studies. If the ski hill has shown that is very important to their future, then that needs to be weighed in the whole scheme of things.
Charles Skinner, you've got the last word. This isn't going to happen overnight. It's a multi-year process.
Yeah, and I would just say that, you know, skiers are outdoors people too. You know, skiers go to Rib Mountain to enjoy the beautiful outdoors at a time when the park isn't otherwise being heavily used. And so the vistas and being in the forest are you know, we share the same passion for that park as everybody else does.
Thank you so much for being with us. We want to thank today's guest, Charles Skinner, owner of Granite Peak at Rib Mountain State Park, Karen Graff, secretary and board member of the Friends of Rib Mountain State Park, and Tracy Baltz, director of marketing for the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Remember to support Wisconsin Public Radio during our spring pledge drive. Local programming like the Route 51 regional talk show couldn't happen without you. That's 888 202-2552 or WPR.org. Again, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.